Here is Deep Waters.
It's a hazy morning, with a little while corrugating the water. It's difficult to see through the haze. Fishermen are paddling hard to the rhythm made by the waves on the heads of their dugout canoes. Closer to the harbor, otters swim from east to west on Lake Bunyonyi. The clouds threaten rain. Over 30 people, most of them women, stand astonished by the lakeside. Everybody's face is shriveled, and those who cannot stand it cry out loud, like an ambulance warning people out of the way. I had rolled down here on my old Honda motorcycle to the beach. Reaching the scene, people scatter to give way. When they give way, I think, why not stop and see what's happening? I am shocked too. I see a floating body with a bulged stomach in the lake, just like an abandoned log. Zinabwini, I saw very much alive the other day. This is terrible. I'm inquisitive about the cause of his drowning. After parking my Honda above the steep cliff, I ask an old woman standing by my side. She clutches my arm.
My son, leave me alone.
I'm struck by the heart. He must have wandered and failed to find the way home. The Avoris told him to drink less, but he has not taken heed. See what he has harvested. A yelling voice is heard from the other direction. I see a woman with a covered head, with two people supporting her from both sides, like a typical Muchiga bride. A crowd of people follow in sorrowful mood. Some mourning, others shocked and silent. Misery fills the air. Everybody has been talking for the last few minutes, but seeing the family approaching, they become mute. Avaris told him not to drink, as if on competition. And now the fruits, the wife wails. The men assemble and start discussing the drowning riches. A drowned man is an omen and cannot be buried at home, but at the lakeside. Only a woman that has never given birth can remove him. We have to hire someone, says Muzamba.
Ah, Kamori will do this for us.
The men agree finally.
But it's hard to convince.
It's a market day. Traders start coming one by one. The haze fades. Fleets of canoes are seen at a distance, looking like stands of trees left in the lowlands. An old man speaks.
It is getting late. These women need to be taken back home as we get what to do. Is Choma at home? He wanted to go to Kabale town early. He could have gone without knowing this.
Someone replies.
If he had been here, it would have been easy for us.
The crowd mutters with low voices.
Bioma, go for Kamori and find about Choma. Now, land can be sold later to pay, but we can't keep Zinabwena in water.
Kigamba was here yesterday looking for a pillar of land to put a campsite.
His car came following this red motorcycle.
Someone points at me.
You can ask this man to find him as we sort this out.
I join the men's group so that I can find out more about the land issue, because Kigamba is a big man. It does not take me long to discover that it only requires 100,000 shillings to fish out the body. I linked to Kigamba, the city tycoon, on my mobile phone. Luckily, he is already ascending the hill on the way to Bunyonyi. I don't want Kigamba to be caught unawares. I decide to meet him and brief him about the matter, for it's hard for just a local man to approach him. I climb my old red motorcycle, kickstarting it. After one S-like corner, I stop him.
Kigamba! Sir, Kigamba!
I walk back to him, clearing my throat. With a gloomy face, he opens the car window. Sir, there's something I love to share with you. Somebody drowned down there, and his body is still in the water. His family does not have money to fish him out. They are selling their land to get money to take them out of the problems. I have heard them say that you wanted land. That is what has prompted me to call you. He changes his face and smiles. It's a sly, cunning smile.
Young man, what do I have to do so that I can get this land?
He pulls me by the sleeve.
I have 200,000 shillings. It's better to sell this piece of land. I need it close to the water.
I point to the grieving home where our crowd are waiting.
Don't you see all that? Their plot is between their home and the lake.
Okay. He taps his fat fingers on the polished door of the car. Link us, okay?
Yeah.
The market is growing. Owa's men are coming so fast in their canoes, it's as if they are in a paddling competition. People are crossing the small bay to shorten the distance to the wailing home where the drowned man lived. I join the group walking overland, leaving my motorcycle parked beside Kigaba's car. The compound is full of people. Women are entering the dead man's hut. Men are trailing down to the lake. I greet people, try to console them. A man comes out of the hut directly facing me. His face is humbled. He is soaked in sweat. He holds out his hand to greet me. Good morning, sir. I try to show my sympathy to him. Scarcely have I uttered the last word when he requests a private dialogue. I'm led behind a big hut, stooping on a corner so that the roof does not touch my head.
I am Muchoma Chamukwata, he says. I'm the elder to the one who drowned. I'm just from Bukora to get medicine for my child. I have come without.
My other brother found me seated in a line waiting for the medicine man. I have come without. I am requesting you humbly to link us to that big man who wants a piece of land. We need money. We need money. My dead brother has 2 plots of land remaining. 2 plots that he didn't drink away. We shall sell some of it and go through his funeral.
A woman passes by, crying with a bundle of firewood folded on her shoulder.
We can go and see Kigaba. I have left him at the market. It takes us little to get him, she cries.
It takes us 20 minutes to reach the marketplace. Kigaba is watching dancing crested cranes and white kingfishers. I speak to him in English to introduce Choma.
When Choma has explained, Kigaba pulls a roll from his pocket and counts 200,000 shillings, saying,
We shall sort out the issues later. Let them use this money for his sick child and the man's funeral. When word spreads about his generosity, Kigaba is looked upon as a savior. A week passes after burial. Now Kigaba and I go to the widow. She and the children are seated under the black water tree in their backyard. They wonder what the guy is looking for.
Because I've never been in our compound before. Who could this be? What do they want? Why do they come here?
A kid wearing a soiled polo shirt appears before the vehicle. He is panting like a dog after a heavy day's work, with terror on his face. We send him to call his mother.
Mama, a pregnant man has come. It's like he's suffering from mumps, as if they have just poured water all over his face. He says he wants you.
Shut up, silly child. That is the man that helped us with the money to bury your father.
She puts down the potato she was peeling, wraps herself with a kitenge, and comes to see the sweating man. Kigaba climbs from the car, and I follow.
Oya, Oya, how are you, woman?
Your husband. It was unfortunate. Anyway, it happened. Yes, it was very sad, but that is life. That is the way it ends here.
I have come so that we can sort out matters relating to the other little money.
The widow touches her hair and lets her hand fall.
I hear that, but I don't even have a single coin in my house.
Not a single coin. I need 200,000. We had a deal.
Not a single coin.
The widow is silent for a moment. When she speaks, it's a whisper. I will have to sell my only goat or part of my land before paying you. But I have to contact my in-laws for their consent.
You can consent yourself. You are everything since you are alone.
The woman gathers her children behind her.
That's okay. Would you come in 2 days' time? Maybe we can finalize everything. There are papers.
I have papers.
Kigaba wipes his face. He smiles at the children who hide behind their mother. He raises his eyebrows.
See you next time, madam. 2 days it is. 2 days.
We climb into the car. Kigaba starts the engine. He pats me on the knee and chuckles. We pull away in a cloud of red dust. And through that cloud, I see the face of a drowned man.